So today, we're looking at, it's in the series, Questions Jesus Asks. And today, the question is, what do you want me to do for you? And so we're looking at the story of Bartimaeus in the book of Mark. And the book of Mark is a fast-paced gospel. When you read through it, it's action all the way, event after event. It doesn't seem to dwell on things for too long. Lots of highs, some lows. And I reckon that's what it was like following Jesus when you was in the time, in those few years that Jesus was about the work of the kingdom, his public ministry, would have been massive highs and lows, massive challenges, loads of setbacks, loads of disappointing moments as well. But following Jesus is not a gentle little slow meandering through life, is it? I know there is the mundane that we're going through, but it's so much more than that. Following Jesus is like, it's radical. It changes our lives. He changes our lives. And it's not like, oh, come along to someone, or I've got this little self-help book that will just add a little something to your life. You know that you're a little bit anxious? Well, I've got a little prayer you can pray. I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing that, obviously. But to follow Jesus is like so changing, so life-changing, isn't it, in every way? So the question today is, what do you want me to do for you? And let's put it in the context of the story. There we go. Good. So there's a text today. If you've got a Bible, it's always worth getting the Bible out, looking at a proper hard copy of a Bible. Because sometimes when you're going through this and whoever's preaching, sort of referring back to a verse or a little phrase in there, it's always worth just checking it out as you go along. That's what I do. Another thing I like to do, because I'm more listen than I preach, is I take notes. Now, I'm not suggesting you suddenly go and look for a pen and paper, but it just helps me to concentrate. Just something for the future, maybe, for you. But anyway, let's read the story. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So that's our story today, that's our text. And as I said at the beginning of Mark, it's very fast-paced. And Jesus has come from the villages around Caesarea and Philippi and began telling his disciples, "I'm going to die. This is coming, it's soon, it's not far away." Then he goes through Galilee and he heals a boy possessed of an evil spirit. And all the while, keep teaching the disciples, "It's culminating in my death. This is what's going to happen." And he would be telling the crowd as well, that sort of stuff. And it's interesting, like even in this journey, we're coming up to this moment, the disciples still really didn't get it on many occasions. You know, there was one of them who said, "Who's the greatest amongst us? You know, like, I think I'm the best out of you crowds," you know, like one of them would have been saying. And Jesus said, "Be the least, be a servant." That's what it's about. And so that's sort of the context. And now let's think about the story of Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, a man really with no hope, no future, a man who was always reliant on handouts. I should imagine a very lonely man. He would have been positioned himself. He would have done this, I guess, most days of the week on the roadside with the best possible opportunities to beg, to get for money, to get resources. And he would go where the footfall was the greatest. That would make a lot of sense on the road to Jerusalem. And it's worth thinking about for a little moment how Bartimaeus came to find out about Jesus. So we've just got this story about Bartimaeus. So I'm not going to give you some great stuff from the Bible. This is the exact route that Bartimaeus came to find out about Jesus. But he would have heard stories. He probably would have heard stories of what Jesus had been up to. This man from Nazareth. Maybe he would ask them as people come by. You know, he's on the roadside week in, week out, day in, day out. and people would say, this guy Jesus, this is what he's done this week or last month. And I'm sure he would have got them to tell the story, the details of what this prophet, this man of God had done. And they would tell him how Jesus had raised people from the dead, how he healed a leper. And one day he would probably have been told, Jesus caused a man born blind to receive his sight, which would have given him hope. Maybe he remembered scripture from Isaiah about God coming, the Son, Jesus coming and setting captives free and the blind seeing and the oppressed set free. I think it's worth thinking about that. You know, so you might think, well, that doesn't say, so we don't know. But I think it's worth just pondering on it for a moment, because faith comes from somewhere, right? And I think it's really reasonable to assume that he was told the stories of Jesus leading up to this point, and that would have inspired faith. I guess what else is there to do if that's your life, is to be on the street begging with no future, no hope, but to listen to the news and the story of the day. And he would have been there day after day listening to all sorts of stories. But the one about Jesus obviously caught his attention. And so it's really about faith. He heard some stories and he found some faith. And Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from, I'll read this on there, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Someone, or more likely, numbers of people told Bartimaeus about the exploits of Jesus. And that's how it works, right? We hear a story. So all of us in this room, someone somewhere told us about Jesus. It might have been at Sunday school, growing up, you've just heard it all the while since you was, you know, you could actually remember anything. If someone's told you. And that's how it works. And I remember for me, like I used to play a lot of football, and there was a guy on the football team, his name was Cecil, and I used to give him a lift home from football, and a big, strong, powerful centre forward he was, but he was a Christian, and there was no one else on the team or in the club who was a Christian, so always he was the one to be mocked, right? He was an easy target, and if we're having a go at him, that means they're not having a go at me or whatever. That's how it works in terms of mockery, doesn't it, you know? And so we mocked him and mocked him. And then we get in the car on the way home and I go, just tell me a little bit more about your faith. You know, and over months and months, he just told me the story of Jesus. And then there were other people, but he told me the story of Jesus. And I do remember, like, well, after I became a Christian, because I'd lost touch with him. I think he stopped playing football. And I found out where he went to church. He put on a few pounds, to be honest, but that's not the point. But I went into his church and he was so shocked to see me, you know. So he's telling me all these stories about Jesus. And I just took the time out to go and find him and tell him, look what's happened. You know, Jesus has changed my life, or whatever I said to him. And he might never have known that. I mean, I did see him, so he did know it. But, you know, loads of times we tell people about Jesus and we think, wow, that wouldn't have gone anywhere. And I'm sure he would have thought that, because I would have, the following week I was taking the mickey out of him and all that. So it's important telling others, but it's important to remember that's how the gospel works, right? By telling other people. And that's what would have happened with Bartimaeus. And obviously Jesus, in the story, he says to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? And obviously Jesus knows the answer. He knows the answer to the question. He's drawing out of Bartimaeus what is of most importance, what's of greatest importance. And Bartimaeus' faith and his faith in Jesus as the Messiah, that's what's of great importance. We don't know how the stories of Jesus were told to Bartimaeus, but he heard them and faith was at work in his heart. Bartimaeus had nothing to lose. He was weak, he was blind, but he had faith in the power of God. The crowds talked about Jesus of Nazareth, where he was from, Jesus from Nazareth. But Bartimaeus recognized that Jesus was far greater than just a man from a town in Israel. He shouted out, Jesus, son of David. It's a great story, isn't it? He's not going to give up, Bartimaeus. Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus is here declaring that Jesus is the Messiah. That's what he's saying in that statement. He's not relying on just there's a good guy coming into town, some human resource, but he's having a recognition that he's calling out to Jesus, who is the Messiah. Faith appears to him really alive in this moment. And faith, I think, can, when we're in a moment of desperation, and we're all going to face them, or have facing them, or have faced them, we have a choice. We either give in, or we go, Jesus, I'm clinging on to you. There's nothing else. None of my friends can help me, but Jesus, you can. And that's what Bartimaeus did. Faith was alive. And I was thinking about, obviously I've been thinking about this all week, Bartimaeus, and I thought, yeah, faith, this is what this is about. And I thought, what do I normally do when I get a headache or I'm unwell in any way, shape or form, or in pain? Well, I'd normally go to the cupboard where the paracetamol are. I know it's a silly example, but what do we do when we have these moments? We can either go to the paracetamol or we can go to prayer. Often we do both, right? And there's nothing wrong in taking paracetamol. So I don't want you to never take tablets at all. Of course, that's right. And we are grateful, aren't we, for amazing medical provision in the way of doctors and everything else and medication. But it also can be a bit of a distraction to faith and an opportunity. You know, wake up 2 a.m, got a headache or a pain somewhere. I'm talking as an older person because it happens. But, you know, like, God, come and help me in this moment. An opportunity for faith. Bartimaeus is alone and he cries out to Jesus. He has faith in God's love for him. The crowd are annoyed at him. He's the local nuisance. And it's interesting how he can be a bit bothered. Like as I'm reading through this, I think, I'm sometimes like that crowd, you know, like, can you just behave a bit at the back? I want to hear from them at the front. Many rebuked him and said to him, be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. His desperate situation caused him to have only one consideration. I need Jesus. I need to be like that in my life. Whatever I'm going through, whether it's the big things or the mundane things, I need Jesus in every moment. And I don't know how long, I know some of you a bit, and I know some of you a bit more, and some of you not at all. And when I became a Christian at 24, you know, just born again, like you guys here sat here, whether you was 24, 4 or 44, and at that moment, suddenly I had a love for the church. I had no interest in church, didn't really understand it at all. But I had a love for the church, always have done. All the years I've been a Christian, I love the church. And I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful God places us in families. And I mean church families. Some of us have difficult families, blood families. And mine's all right, there's some challenges. But I'm so grateful for the family of God and where he places us. But it was never meant to replace our dependence on God. It's absolutely part of God's provision, but it's not all of God's provision. Of course, we need to be in church. That's so essential. But our faith ultimately must be in the Messiah, in Jesus, the King of Kings. Bartimaeus was really clear about this. He was not requesting help from anyone except Jesus. And in our encouragement of one another, our caring for one another, let's point each other to Jesus. As we look to sharpen one another, let's point one another to Jesus. I know I'm the sort of person who likes to fix, give people some, like, you should do this, you should do that. You know, all the wisdom is rubbish compared to pointing someone to Jesus, to experience Jesus in all their challenges. And we're talking about faith, and that's what come through with Bartimaeus. Faith must have action. Somewhere to be expressed. And the book of James, it makes it clear, faith without works or faith without action is dead. And Bartimaeus was not giving up. He was not deterred by the crowd trying to silence him. Bartimaeus was appealing to the character of God, a merciful God. Have mercy on me. He doesn't treat us as our sin deserves. He gives us what we don't deserve. That's what God does for us. Bartimaeus would have had a limited understanding, but enough to appeal to God and the character of God and the mercy of God. And Jesus always responds to faith, right? And sometimes I get quite amazed. I think, how does that work with that crowd? Their theology is not quite right. in my humble opinion. But somehow, God honours their faith. God really honours faith, doesn't he? And it's really important to know that. And you know, there are things in our lives that we need to have faith for. What obstacles are you facing? Have you run out of your own resources? Well, we don't like it, it's uncomfortable, but it's a good place to be. Because now we're going to turn to God. And you know, you watch the news or listen to the news, and it's never good. It's probably never been good, right? But it just seems, I don't know, you're more aware of it because news is 24/7, and obviously it's been like that for quite a number of years. And you look at the times we're living in, difficult times, financial times. You read a newspaper headline that says the drought's going to go on forever. You know, finances are going to be difficult, and they are realities, right? We are living in that sort of world. Financial difficulties, that's going to happen in our nation and perhaps in our lives. And we can think the future's bleak, but we need to cry out to God. Bartimaeus was blind, and we don't know what the future has for us. But what I do know is this: God wants to ask us, what do you want from me? And that's that our faith might increase. Bartimaeus got his answer. We might not get our answer straight away, but he wants to ask us that question, that our faith would increase. And I, as I was thinking about this text and stuff, I was in preparing for this, I asked myself a question: how often do I really exercise faith? And sometimes when you're more in need, when I was a lot younger and finances were much more of a pressure, it's like, God, I need you to come through for this or that, you know. And it's really important. It's not about just money, but how do we exercise faith moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, week after week, in the mundane and in the big stuff? We want to be a people who exercise faith every day of our lives. And we're just going to come on to a couple of verses. And verse 49 and 50, Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. And the cloak is quite an important piece of, important piece of clothing. Because of the way it is used, it tells everyone who he is. I'm a beggar, I can't work. He would lay out this big cloak in front of him so people could put money in. I can't work, I've got no purpose. And there's a lot going on in these couple of verses. And firstly, I just find it interesting, the reaction of the crowd. And I reckon I would have been a bit like that, to be honest. Like, can you be quiet? He's talking to us, you know, that type of thing. And one minute they're telling him that, shut up, Bartimaeus, it's not about you. And then Jesus responds, he stops, he says, bring him over. And then it's quite interesting that they're rebuking him. And now he's got the attention of the main man, Jesus. It's like, oh, we're his mate now. Come up, good fellow, come, I'll take you to Jesus. And I thought about this, and I thought, we need to be consistent with people we deal with and not show partiality and not show favouritism. It's easy to do that, isn't it? Like to pick your favourites and just ignore others. And secondly, Jesus stopped. And I think this is a big point. He took notice of a blind beggar. And Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to face execution. But he stops. He shows compassion. Jesus shows compassion because that is who he is. That's in his very nature. Jesus is the exact representation of God. And when we see Jesus, we see God. We know what God is like. And he is compassionate towards Bartimaeus, and he's compassionate towards you and me. You know, I'm sure Bartimaeus would have felt overlooked. It's hard to put yourself in that situation, but there's a crowd of people going by and he's shouting out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they're all going, shut up, we don't want to hear from you. He must have felt really overlooked and disempowered and just a hopeless case. And maybe you felt overlooked at times and that life's passed you by. But Jesus is in our midst, has come out in our worship. He's amongst us. I just think Jesus asks us the question, what do you want me to do for you today? Maybe you need healing like Bartimaeus. Maybe you need financial provision or restoration of a broken relationship. The question is important because it reveals our heart. And, I guess if your first thought was, Jesus asked you, what do you want me to do for you today? If your first thought was, there's a big lottery coming up and I wouldn't mind that one. Your motivation and the heart attitude and desires are probably out of sync with where God wants us to be. But we can take heart from Bartimaeus and we can cry out to God. We may not have the same opposition as he had, but we will have opposition, that's for sure. We have an enemy who wants to put us down and make us feel insignificant. But we keep crying out to him because God is after a heart that trusts him. And Bartimaeus would have found great security in this cloak. It would have been really important to him. A big piece of clothing that protected him from the sun, that he could put out to beg for money, that protected him, kept him warm at night. And in the Old Testament, it's recognized as an essential piece of equipment, so much so that it's mentioned, that it's stating that it can't be taken by a creditor. That's how vitally important it was as a piece of essential everyday life, sustaining your life. And what Bartimaeus does, he throws his cloak aside. Bartimaeus is letting go of his past. He's exercising faith by jumping to his feet to encounter Jesus and immediately letting go of the security of his cloak. Throwing it is an action. It's a statement of faith. I'm going to get from Jesus what I come for. I've no need of this cloak anymore. And it's difficult, actually, to follow Jesus and hold on to stuff from the past. Probably almost impossible. Jesus said to a fella, follow me, he said. The guy said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And in and of itself, it sounds like a really hard statement. But what Jesus is saying, to follow me is everything. Those things can deal with themselves. Follow me. No one puts their hand to the plow and looks back, is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. It's like, Jesus, I'm after you. And that's what Bartimaeus was doing. He threw aside the cloak and I'm going to follow Jesus. We're a new creation. We're born of God. We don't need to look back and hold on to things from our past that weigh us down, that trip us up. We're on a journey, right? And so we're not there. It's not like we've all arrived. We're running this race. Nothing from the past ever hinders us. It's not quite like that. We're on a journey. And the disciples made lots of mistakes. And we're going to have a look at one. But there's always grace available. But what do you cling to that holds you back? What is that like security blanket thing that holds you back and stops you from clinging on to Jesus? It might be an unhealthy relationship. It could be that desire for financial security, and could be a health issue that even brings identity. Well, that, I feel better because I've got this diagnosis that's my identity. No, Jesus wants your whole person. Maybe it's time to cast aside some things in our lives. And this is really the last point, and it's about our heart. Well, we might have been there. Where are we up to? Okay, we go from there. So let me read these verses. Mark 10, 35 to 40. It says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other on your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. James and John want the best positions in the coming kingdom. The disciples, when you read through the Gospels, often will be jostling for position. Jesus, am I one of your favourites? Jesus has just predicted his death and they still don't get it. They're on the road to Jerusalem, and James and John still don't get it. I mean, they sound like kids, don't they? We want you to do for us, Jesus, whatever you want. I mean, it's like a 12-year-old, maybe even a 10-year-old. What a thing to be saying to Jesus. But anyway, they said it. And it's probably a night you thought, how can Jesus help us as we parent our kids? Right, but he goes along with it. He draws out what's on people's hearts. What do you want me to do for you? To sit at your right and left in glory. And our answers to Jesus' question to us, what do you want me to do for you, are really revealing. James and John show their arrogance. They show they think they're the best of the disciples. They're the best of the bunch. It shows a lack of humility. It shows a lack of understanding of what's going on. And it shows a lack of maturity. They really did not understand the kingdom of God, about the first being the last and the last being first. And it's just so important to see the comparison. Earlier in the chapter, Peter spoke up. He said, we've left everything to follow you, Jesus. These guys have been following Jesus for the best part of 3 years. And Jesus basically said, there's nothing that you can give up that you won't be getting back 100-fold. You're going to be with me in the kingdom of heaven. What an interesting comparison between James and John with Bartimaeus. It's stark, isn't it? Jesus, we've followed you. We've done your work. We deserve honour, is pretty much what they're saying. And then there's Bartimaeus. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. What a comparison. Jesus, I know you are, he's saying, and I've never even seen you. I've heard the stories from afar. You must be the Messiah. I need you, Jesus. I'm not quitting till I get you, Jesus, was Bartimaeus' heart. And I know you can recover my blindness. Bartimaeus was blind, but he could see clearer than any of the disciples. And they've been with Jesus day in, day out for a long time by that time. We have blind spots, right? Anyone would agree with that? Well, if you don't, that's probably the biggest blind spot you got. And come and see a guy afterwards and he'll put you straight on that one. But we have blind spots, right? And it's good to be in the family of God where we can just talk to one another and sharpen one another, because we don't want to be blind. We want to be fully focused, have 20/20 vision of who Jesus is, because he can come and change our lives. Jesus knows the answer to the questions he asks. He knew the answer to the questions he asked Bartimaeus and others we're going to look at in the series. And he knows the answer to the question when he asks the questions to us, what we're going to answer. As he asks them, he's helping us to understand our own heart, where, like James and John, it's a bit distorted, or like Bartimaeus, that reveals faith and a depth of understanding who Jesus is. And I don't know about you, but I'm always encouraged by the disciples. I'm not one of those who likes to, like, really slate Peter. You know, he's an easy target, right? Oh, Peter, you know, denied Jesus 3 times, big mouth and all that. Like, I think we're probably all like the disciples in different ways at different times in our lives. So I'm definitely not one of those who wants to, like, have a go at them. I mean, who knows what might happen when you get to heaven? I don't want to be in any difficult discussion with Peter about this. I'm sure it wouldn't be the way anyway. But I'm encouraged by the disciples, because they are like us. They're flawed in lots of ways, like you and me. And Jesus is flawless in every way. The grace of God is evident in your life and my life. And we're not perfect. And we come to Jesus as we are, but we don't stay the same. And, you know, that's true of James and John. They wanted the glory, yet God still used them powerfully. Can you drink the cup I drink? Jesus said to them. Well, they did, because of the outrageous grace of God. You know, you or I would have written them off. We'd have gone, Bartimaeus is the man for me. Look at his faith. Look, wow, what a story. We'll tour Hampshire and Sussex with Bartimaeus. We'll leave James and John behind. But God raise them up through all the struggles, all the weaknesses, all the silly things they might have said. And that's like us, right? God was at work in their lives like he does in ours. He's at work in your life, changing you. And sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but he's at work changing us. And Jesus said to Bartimaeus, "Go, your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Bartimaeus didn't look back. The cloak was no use to him anymore. He was following Jesus. You know, if that was me, I think I'd have been more inclined to thinking, yeah, I've got a good story here. I was blind and now I can see. There's a book deal somewhere here. I mean, I might not have thought quite that, but you know what I mean? That, bit silly, I know. But you know, but he followed Jesus. The cloak was put, even like, let's take the best scenario. I think I'll go back and tell my parents and tell the people, my friends, the people of my town. But he followed Jesus. Don't look back. Keep following Jesus. It's a narrow gate. We know that. And as was said earlier, the world that we live in is very challenging. But God is at work. He's changing you and me, and he's changing people's lives, and he's going to continue doing it. It's a narrow gate, but the rewards are, Jesus said, I sort of touched on it, are 100-fold. And I just really want to finish there with, what do you want? Jesus said to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? And we're going to come and worship. And as we worship, yeah, you might as well come up, Lou. The seamless moment right there. Sorry, Lou. What do you want me to do for you? Because Jesus stops by us moment after moment. Bartimaeus had this one moment and he weren't going to let go. And I'd love it for us. For me, you know, like Jesus stops by. Tony, what do you want for me, from me? What do you want me to do for you? And so today in this room, you might have some issue of healing. Well, let's reach out. This is a great example. God is all powerful and he heals. And the kingdom of God is alive and well. And we can experience the kingdom of God in our lives today. So it might be healing. It might be a sense that, you know, there is a bit of a blindness, a bit of a dullness over my life. Well, Jesus, I need you. Son of David, have mercy on me. Come to me today in this moment. We just might want more of him. So let's stand, let's worship, and let's respond to him as we worship.